You're listening to Kingston's only campus community radio station, broadcasting 24/7, 365 on 101.9 FM and CFRC.ca. Tune in for the best local programming.
Good morning. It is 11 a.m. on Friday, July 25th, and you're tuned in to CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie, and this is Kingston Currents. CFRC's news programming is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, Waddle Eye Way at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Last week, Kingston Economic Development released a report with a strategic blueprint showing how mid-sized cities like Kingston can build their own film and media ecosystems. The Hyperlocal Ontario Action Plan, authored by Jason Jolly of Branded to Film and backed by Kingston Economic Development, Tourism Kingston, Frontenac Business Services, and Ontario Creates, lays out what's been done and what comes next to decentralize Ontario's film industry and build industries in big little cities like Kingston. Jolly sat down with CFRC and shared the vision behind the report.
What originally prompted me, and it was a theoretical exercise, is how would I build, like, how can you pioneer and build a film industry from scratch? And, you know, like a lot of folks say, well, don't we have a film industry, Jay? And I'm like, well, we have Toronto producers who will come and randomly shoot here every so often, but it's very hard. You don't really have a business model unless you can forecast it, like you can predictably do it. And so my thing was, if you want to build like a film industry, you kind of have to start with like producers and crew, and all the vendors have to be like a full stack entity in a town where, you know, that you can achieve that stuff, like where it's not just a bunch of crew members coming from Toronto that stay here and then go back every 5 days after they've done shot their limestone out and had their ways.
The goal of the action plan was to create a document any community could pick up and apply to their own creative industries.
The report came out of me wanting to kind of open source what we were doing as a model. So other big little cities like Kingston could, if they wanted to look to grow their own industry, this is a different way of thinking. A lot of it was to just write a very easy to read, plain report without any, or it's more of a business intelligence paper, I guess, without any jargon. So any municipality or even someone like yourself could pick it up and it would be very digestible. And you get a really good overview of like the history of film production in Ontario, where we are, and it's what the landscape looks like, and also how we can better support folks like myself, which is independent Ontario producers, you know, with these more affordable, efficient places to practice their productions or execute their productions.
The plan argues that the timing is right for decentralization of the industry from cities like Toronto and Vancouver. High costs and congestion in these hubs have made decentralizing production a necessity, according to Jolly.
Well, I think for anything, decentralization is something that's not just for, you know, like the film industry or even media or the creative industries as a whole. It's actually something that's an affliction of a lot of industries, which is, as you know, like when I first moved to Toronto in the early 2000s, there was like 4.3 million people. Today, that kind of greater Toronto Hamilton area is now 7.5 million. So that's a significant amount of downward pressure. And it's, you know, it's the same kind of thing that happens. Like when we were shooting, you know, we could shoot it, almost get permits anywhere. It was still very like free and independent. And there was a great scene there. But as kind of the bigger like Netflix and things get gentrified, and like even if you're like, say, a visual artist, like you used to live in this industrial loft because it was cheap and nobody wanted to live in it. But now that's where they want to put a condo. So these downward pressures are something that I think affect all kinds of creative industries. And for independent Ontario producers like myself, you know, between the affordability to live, the affordability to do, because we don't have a lot of money to do a production comparatively to, like, you know, if you look at an episode of Star Trek, it's $10 million an episode just for one episode of television. When you look at our little movie, it's like $1 million for one, you know, for a whole movie, which I know sounds like a lot, but it's not. So you know, I think in general, I think, you know, for society to be healthy, we can't just live in one place. And especially when you have such a, you know, these big little cities like Kingston are super accessible. Like you're right in between Toronto, Montreal, Ottawa. We're about 5.5 hours from, you know, Manhattan. It's a terrific, you know, balance between rural and urban, you know, great nighttime economy, great restaurant scene, beautiful place to live. And with technology, like it, which is very democratized now, and especially now with things like generative AI and virtual production, you don't really have to live in a big city to do high quality production. And in fact, the tools, these democratic tools, are being more and more, you know, to open sourced in a lot of ways, where, you know, that you can, I believe, and I, you know, I mention this all the time, where I believe, a filmmaker with $5 million in about 3 to 5 years, whoever she is, will be able to, in a place like Kingston, make a movie that looks like $100 million today by the big studios because of these tools, and how fast these tools are you know, advancing and just being easier to use.
The report covers two case studies. Branded to Film's first feature, Dead Mother Crimson, was a testing ground. It hired 60% local crew and proved an end-to-end production could be done in Kingston. Their follow-up this year, Doom Boogie, pushed things even further. Jolly shared some of the lessons learned so far about what can be done in Kingston.
We just kind of set this random benchmark where we said, well, we're going to employ 60% locals. We're going to figure out how to either, hopefully they have experience or a little bit of experience, or they're from an adjacent industry. You know, so what it did is that first said, not only is it viable, but I think it's like, it's kind of like a skateboard trick. If you can see it, you can be it. Like my surprise was, here I am 20 years later and nobody had done $1 million end-to-end production, like of like that was developed, pre-produced, produced. And once we were able to do that and show that it was possible to do that, I think it opened up a lot of people's eyes, including my own. It's like, wait a second, this is like a real thing now. We can do this. And so we said, well, so that taught me kind of the realization that this isn't just, you know, a theoretical exercise. So we said, here's the practical things. And we were able to train, like some of the stuff that we were really able to learn. One of them was we wanted to see, could we make production more sustainable, like really green production? Let's try and avoid, you know, just randomly throwing crap out and, you know, really think about kind of how we can reduce our carbon footprint and stuff like that through little ideas or just behavioral change. So once we had done that and we realized, well, we need to do another one. And I said, well, this time, why don't we target 75% local hires? And to our amazement, and we got to 87%. We actually over-indexed. And what I found was, you know, one of the things that we really didn't do very well on the first one was, again, talent behind the camera was one thing, but we had kind of, you know, we had met like local theater actors and stuff, and theater actors and film and TV actors they're very different muscle set in a lot of ways. There's a lot of things that are similar, but there's just different ways of execution because, you know, film is very much, you can actually whisper, where theater is it's a lot bigger, like in terms of, so what we did is, you know, on this one, we said we need to make a real concerted effort to tap into actors or in front of the camera. And because of this particular movie, Doom Boogie was kind of about this fictional Kingston band, we decided to look at musicians. And a lot of the folks both on both sides of the camera were actually, and again, I really believe in supporting local musicians, especially because, you know, music is a very, very tough industry. It's more than ever. And so we were able to hire them in technical positions. But what was really great is we were able to hire folks like, you know, Kira from Tiny Horse and Jonas in kind of lead actor roles. And what we've discovered there is that actors kind of have 70 or I should say, sorry, musicians have kind of 70% of that thing they need from being performers on stage to be actors, especially like film actors. So that was a great revelation. So that's something we learned on it too. And then consequently, they also contributed to the soundtrack. So we were doubly blessed with that.
According to Jolly, it's not just the lessons learned so far that will propel the industry's growth, but also what the city itself brings to the table.
when people ask, well, what's the secret to your business? I say, or what's your superpower of your business? I always say, my superpower is Kingston. Kingston's like so cool. Like, I'm sure the secret's going to get out. And it's just like, what I learned was, because even on our first movie, we had like 40% were heads of department from Toronto that came and trained. And this one we had even had less. So 13%, and some of them were actors, as well. So, but what's interesting is when people came to Kingston, especially technicians from outside, what I realized is a lot of people, unless you went to school here or you were born here, most people have never been to Kingston. And they've driven by it on the 401 and all that kind of stuff. But what was interesting is, you know, usually the first night, like somebody from out of town, like especially, you know, like an actor or film was like, the first thing to ask is like, where's a good place to eat? And you kind of say, well, you just open your hand and say, just go down here. And then literally the next day on set, they were like, when are you doing your next movie? How do I move here? This is unbelievable, this place, you know, from, you know, just the beauty and stuff of being in the Thousand Islands, I think. And just the general, you know, what I like to say is sometimes it's like Kingston kind of feels like it's at that kind of stage where it feels like that super cool neighborhood in Toronto, like in the early 2000s or late 90s in a lot of ways, because everybody kind of knows each other. You show up at bars and everybody's kind of like connected in a certain way.
Still, turning this potential into a sustainable industry will take work. Jolly dove into some of the work that's being done right now to bring the plan to life, as well as the challenges.
Our big focus as we really were down to is, you know, over the last 6 months, we partnered with the Tourism Kingston and are really, and also the city of Kingston in terms of, you know, we bought secured some land out in St. Lawrence Business Park, 10 acres. We've been working with a really great design construction firm. We just submitted our site plans. We're about just over, you know, call it between 75-80% finance. So we're just trying to close that last like $5 million. So that's kind of like our full court press. You know, we have a couple term sheets right now, and that's kind of, you know, just trying to find the right deal. It's been a really tough year, as you can imagine, between, especially for us, between the LA fires that started the year and then two provincial elections and now our provincial and a federal election. And now, you know, this wild orange man that thinks he's king yelling tariff, tariff, tariff everywhere. That's caused a massive distraction, in terms of not only equity, but just getting government attention. So, you know, one of the things we are, you know, we're in discussions with, the provincial and federal government in terms of bringing in some matching funds, because this is, you know, like this is creating jobs, significant amount of jobs, but you know, that's kind of, so where we are now is, you know, we'd love to just close the financing. There's a few other kind of opportunities percolating, and, you know, we're always working with like my colleagues, in Toronto, other producers to really lure them and kind of show them, hey, look what we did. You can do this too. You know, like, because sometimes, like I said, like that, I really believe as like a skateboarder in my youth that, you know, if you can see someone do a trick, you can do that trick too. So it's kind of like, and that's what I think. It's like, now that we've done two, it's not like the first one could have been a fluke and now we've done a second one. And I was like, okay, there's something here. You know, within the next 10 years, Kingston has the potential to capture, you know, say 3% of Ontario's film and television. Realize that industry is $2.65 billion. Like, and of that, in terms of domestic production, which we're kind of focused on here in Kingston initially, it's about $910 million of that $2 billion is just domestic producers like me. So if we can create that new affordable, efficient home, you know, we could see, you know, if we over-index in terms of what we're forecasting, Kingston could be, you know, like an $80, $100 million industry within the next decade. It's totally doable.
To view the full Hyperlocal Ontario Action Plan, you can visit investkingston.ca/creatives. As a follow-up to that update on Kingston's film industry, we've got an exclusive sneak peek at a track from the upcoming Kingston shot feature film Doom Boogie, produced by Kingston's own Branded to Film. The movie stars a fictional Kingston band, and fittingly, the entire soundtrack was written and performed by real Kingston artists. You're about to hear the first ever radio airplay of Ola by Manic Sonic.
You're more French than fashion. How do we let this happen?
hot martini kerosene. You've got this funny feature where you can't say what you mean. Pillowcase, big disgrace, dance hall is blaring. 2 a.m, bars are dead, perfect time to ring. Hopes of some discretion, but you never were so kind. Barber botched the haircut, trying to dodge what's on my mind. Carbon heat, when we meet, we know we should leave. But the bottom of this bottle tastes a lot like dopamine.
She said, hola. You know I really wanna know ya. Let's work it out back on the sofa, honey. You're so sweet. You say I'm killing you, but babe, you're kidding.
And you're never gonna give a single thing I ever wanted, so I think that I'm just gonna leave. What you gonna do? You're gonna finish what you started, cause the party's almost over and I'm bored and broken hearted. And you're never gonna give a single thing I ever wanted, so I think that I'm just gonna leave. Bitch fight, long night, bumping off the key. Tearing through the papers for your obituary. Mixed bag, tall legs, walk their way to me. Maybe you'll forgive it, or you just won't see. Sentiment is harder when I find it hard to care. This second season version is someone that I can't bear. Tough times, no limes, hospitality. Ladies leaving early looking like a fever dream.
She said, you know I really wanna know ya. Let's work it out back on the sofa, honey. You're so sweet, you say I'm killing.
Party's almost over and I'm bored and broken hearted. And they're never gonna give a single thing I ever wanted, so I think that I'm just gonna leave. What you gonna do? Gonna finish what you started, cause the party's almost over and I'm bored and broken hearted. And they're never gonna give a single thing I ever wanted, so I think that I'm just gonna leave.
Once again, that was the first ever radio airplay of Ola by Manic Sonic, a track straight from Doom Boogie, which is currently in post-production. Before we get into more local news, I'm going to turn to our weather and traffic report for today featuring CFRC's Jesse Bell.
This is the Environment Canada weather report for the Kingston region. Friday, July 25th, daytime high of 27 degrees, but a high humidity factor. It's going to be a hot, sticky day here in the city of Kingston. Saturday, July 26th, mostly cloudy, but a little less humid. Still going to be a brilliant, sunny day. Perfect barbecue weather, if I do say so myself. Sunday, July 27th, daytime high of 27 degrees, feeling closer to 29. So humidity at a low, little bit of cloud coverage, into the afternoon. And then into the start of next week, Monday, July 28th, it's going to be 26 degrees, partly sunny, with the possibility of an afternoon shower. This is the City of Kingston Traffic Report for the week. Public Services and Procurement Canada wishes to advise the public that the LaSalle Causeway will be fully closed to vehicles, cyclists, and pedestrians on the following dates: July 20th, July 27th, August 3rd, 10th, 17th, 24th, and 31st, and September 7th from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. In the fall, the causeway will be fully closed September 21st, October 5th, 14th, 19th, November 2nd, and 16th from 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. Here are the road closures for the week. Aberdeen Street, William 2 Johnson is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging. Abbeydon Road, Highway 2 to Middle is closed until August 15th for the removal and replacement of a culvert. Albert Street, Princess and Mac is closed to accommodate construction activity at 484 Albert Street. Berry Street, Queen to Colborne is closed for construction-related activity at 283 Queen Street. Baggett Street, Berry to West is closed until July 23rd at 7 p.m. to accommodate pedestrian and participant safety for the Canadian Little League Championship. Brock Street, Division to Palace is closed until July 31st from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. each day for road resurfacing. Carlton Street, Alfred de Guy is closed until August 8th for a gas main installation. Earl Street, Collingwood to Toronto is closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. South Bartlett Street, Smith to Victoria is closed until August 29th for construction-related activity at 655 Princess Street. Sydenham Street, Princess to Queen is closed until October 3rd for the Sydenham Street Community Space. Victoria Street, Union to Johnson is closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. Victoria Princess to North Bartlett is closed until August 29th for construction-related activity at 655 Princess Street. And Wise Street, Woodbine to Megan is closed until July 31st to accommodate construction of a new sidewalk and road improvements. Here are some other delays to be aware of. Accommodation Road, 6th Concession to White Church, expect delays while the contractor is completing work on the annual surface treatment contract. Abbeydon Road, Middle to Highway 2, expect delays while the contractor is completing work on the annual surface treatment contract. Bayridge Drive, Milford to Henderson, expect delays for the construction of new active transportation infrastructure. Catterockway Woods Drive, Centennial to Gardeners, expect delays for the construction of a new multi-use pathway. Collins Bay Road, Woodbine to Princess, expect delays while a contractor completes landscaping work on Collins Bay Road. Front Road, Sand Bay to Country Club, expect delays for the installation of sanitary and water main for Utilities Kingston. Traffic is down to one lane in each direction. Gardner's Road at Centennial and Creekford, expect delays while a contractor completes intersection widening, traffic signal upgrades, and cycling and pedestrian improvements. Garrett Road, 6th Concession to Sandhill, expect delays while a contractor is completing work on the annual surface treatment contract. Highway 2 to Abbeydon and St. Lawrence, expect delays to complete enhanced flood protection of Abbeydon Road, Highway 2 and St. Lawrence Avenue. Highway 15, Kingston Mills to Middle, expect delays for a contractor to complete work on the Highway 15 CNR overhead structure. Montreal Street at John Counter, expect delays for upgrades to the intersection, including new lighting, traffic signals, lanes, paving, and signage to improve safety and efficiency for all road users. Victoria Street and Earl Street, expect delays while a contractor mobilizes to site to start work on the second phase of reconstruction of sewer, water main, sidewalks, and road. And Whitechurch Road, 6th Concession to Woodburn, expect delays while the contractor is completing work on the annual surface treatment contract.
Thank you, Jesse. Now back to more local news. To kick off the second half of the show, we have a few messages directly from the City of Kingston this week. Changes coming in 2026 for a request to light up City Hall. Community requests to light up City Hall and Springer Market Square will soon follow a new process due to updates to the city's first capital illumination policy. The policy was updated at the City Council meeting on June 17, 2025, after staff proposed changes in response to challenges with the previous policy, including a high volume of illumination requests. The updates will apply to illuminations taking place as of January 1, 2026. The illumination policy sets guidelines for illuminating First Capitol Place, City Hall, and Springer Market Square to mark occasions such as celebrations or commemorations and raise awareness of local history, special events, or community issues. As for why the policy was updated, the illumination policy sets guidelines for illuminating First Capitol Place to mark occasions. Previously, the Illumination policy allowed for all requests that met the policy criteria, and there were no limits to the number of illuminations. There are several occasions the city recognizes every year, but most illuminations are requested by community organizations. Charities and nonprofits request displays to honor significant days and raise awareness of occasions that are meaningful to the community. The city facilitates these requests by illuminating City Hall and Springer Market Square to amplify community voices and foster belonging. Vanessa Mensa, manager of Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion, states, quote, "Illuminations are a form of community-led expression. This initiative highlights the lived experiences, histories, celebrations, and shared values of everyone who calls Kingston home. Staff have revised the policy to better align with the evolving needs of the community and respond to the growing number of illumination requests." Mensa added, quote, "The increased frequency of illuminations can potentially diminish the impact of each display. The changes to the policy will help emphasize the significance of each illumination and its importance within the community. Based on consultation and after researching best practices, the policy was updated to include a total of 90 illuminations per calendar year. This includes 72 illuminations available for public requests, with 18 remaining illuminations listed on their website, reserved annually for occasions that align with Kingston's strategic plan and equity, diversity, and inclusion principles. Mensa states, quote, "The updated policy ensures that illuminations reflect Kingston's cultural, historical, and other significant observances to create a welcoming environment for all community members. Applicants will continue to apply online through My Kingston. Illumination requests are no longer reviewed on a first-come, first-served basis. Applications will be reviewed every 3 months. View the full 2026 application schedule on the Memorials and Commemorations page. Applications received after the quarterly deadline will not be eligible for the associated period. Around 15 to 20 applications will be approved each quarter. Applications must be made by nonprofit or charitable organizations based in Kingston or with a local chapter. Staff will process and approve applications and report back to the EDI Advisory Committee during their quarterly meetings. These changes will come into effect for illuminations that take place as of January 1st, 2026. Illumination applications for 2025 will be processed according to the previous policy. As part of the city's commitment to reconciliation with Indigenous peoples and communities, City Hall will continue to be illuminated monthly as a visible commitment to community healing and in honor of the victims of residential schools. Illuminations are just one way to commemorate meaningful occasions in Kingston. Interested groups can also apply for the Neighborhood Activation Fund, Free Space Initiative, a proclamation, or a flag raising to recognize a significant day or event. Once again, that was a message directly from the City of Kingston concerning changes coming in 2026 for a request to light up City Hall. In another message directly from the City of Kingston this week, City seeks public input ahead of relaunch of Better Homes Kingston program, calling all homeowners interested in making their homes more energy efficient and climate friendly. The City of Kingston is seeking input to inform the relaunch of the Better Homes Kingston program. Launched in 2022, the Better Homes Kingston program is a local improvement charge financing program that supports energy retrofits for residential dwellings. With support from the Federation of Canadian Municipalities Green Municipal Fund, the pilot program offered up to $40,000 in loans and incentives to help homeowners reduce greenhouse gas emissions through upgrades like air source heat pumps, solar panels, and improved insulation. 368 completed projects achieved an average GHG reduction of 66% per project, making it one of the most successful energy retrofit programs in Canada. The Better Homes Kingston program is expected to relaunch in 2026. Soren Christensen, project manager of the Climate Leadership Division at the City of Kingston, states, quote, "We're incredibly proud of what the community achieved through the pilot program. Now we're looking ahead to 2026 and want to hear from residents and contractors to ensure the next phase is even more accessible, impactful, and aligned with local needs. To get involved, you can take the survey on Get Involved Kingston before August 14th. Alternate formats are available upon request. You can sign up for the waitlist to receive updates about the program launch. Contractors and others who provide a service are invited to complete the service provider survey. You can also express interest in participating in the September focus groups when submitting your feedback." Once again, that was a message from the city seeking input ahead of the relaunch of Better Homes Kingston in 2026. In a final message directly from the city this morning, Emancipation Day celebrations, remembering the past and working towards a better future. August 1st is Emancipation Day, marking the day Britain's Parliament abolished slavery across most of the British Empire in 1834. It has become an annual day of remembrance and reflection on the struggle for human rights and the ongoing work to eliminate racism and discrimination in Canada. To recognize Emancipation Day in Kingston, a flag-raising ceremony with Mayor Patterson, members of council, and local community leaders will take place at 11:30 a.m., followed by a community services fair from 12:30 to 3 p.m., both in Confederation Park on Friday, August 1st. Vanessa Mensa, Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion Manager with the city, states, quote, "Emancipation Day asks us not only to remember that slavery existed, but to confront how its legacies still live on. It's a call to reckon with the past, honor the strength of those who survived it, and challenge the systems that continue to deny true freedom today. Attending the city's Emancipation Day event is more than just showing up. It's an act of recognition, a step towards learning, and a commitment to building a more just and equitable future together," end quote. Emancipation Day is free to attend and open to all ages. Learn more about Emancipation Day on the city's website. July 17th meeting, the Kingston Police Service Board received a progress update on their 2023-26 strategic plan. According to Chief Scott Fraser, who presented the update, while no major milestones have been completed yet, progress is unfolding on every front.
We had a lofty goal that we wanted the organization to go, and we are going the right direction.
These lofty goals include a 10% drop in overall crime, particularly in the downtown core, ensuring the people of Kingston, including marginalized and or disadvantaged persons, feel safer and more satisfied with the Kingston Police, improving member job satisfaction, improving the weighted clearance rate, a measure of how well police solve crimes, to 45%, and faster, more frequent transfers of non-criminal, low-risk cases. Chief Fraser shared several key highlights from the report. These included a dramatic decrease in prison drone drops due to a new task force and partnership with City Hall, and the successful hosting of a province-wide human trafficking conference in Kingston. Rotary Club volunteers teamed up with detectives to offer fraud prevention workshops to vulnerable residents. The rollout of data analytics also saw a new crime analyst producing heat maps and crime visuals, now displayed at headquarters to enhance staff and public awareness. The pieces which received the most attention were community engagement initiatives and partnerships. Collaboration with the Integrated Care Hub, shelters, bylaw, and addiction and mental health services have been a major focus.
Our community engagement, I think, and like last month when we went to the Care Hub, I think for us, that I think is something that we're really seeing a positive benefit. We understand there's a lot of issues with it, but the partnership that we've kind of reinvigorated with the staff, and it's working out really well. Our frontline patrol officer, our engagement team, our senior management, management of mental health and addictions at the Care Hub itself and other shelters, it's working out really well. Doing a partnering with bylaw where we're doing a specific engagement throughout the community at shelters in partnership with bylaw, it's only going to benefit the community. When we did the strategic plan, our big key was partnerships. And we are really working hard at that. And it's starting to pay dividends. And hey, if it was easy, it'd already be done. You'll hear me say that all the time. And it's just getting that initial conduct and then that initial contact and the initial engagement and then building on it. And we'll continue to do that.
These efforts were revisited later in the meeting in depth under a report on the city's community safety and support initiative. While work remains to be done after a new strategic plan is introduced in 2027, solid groundwork is being laid, especially in partnerships and community outreach.
Happy to report there, and we'll hopefully see some green dots by the time the strategic plan gets upgraded to the new one.
The full progress report is available at kingstonpolice.ca. Kingston Police say a new approach to public safety in the downtown core is showing signs of progress. But they're also clear issues can't be solved by policing alone. Launched in July 2024, the Community Safety and Support Initiative tasked two officers, Sergeant Jason Hughes and Constable Clint Wills, to work in the Community-Oriented Response and Enforcement Unit with a focused strategy to address open-air drug use and community concerns in the downtown area. Police Chief Scott Fraser presented an update report at the July 17th Kingston Police Service Board meeting.
Sergeant Hughes and Constable Wills really got to know the businesses. They went down, they started talking to people. They got to know, and having that consistent approach, understanding the people who might need some more support, understanding the community members' concern, and understanding the business owner's concern, and trying to come up with something that works. So certainly for us, we're seeing the positives of that now.
Police say a key success of the initiative has been building better relationships with partner agencies, including addictions and mental health services, bylaw enforcement, housing services, and the Integrated Care Hub.
There needs to be a concerted approach. We're starting to see that with our partnership with bylaw, with our partnership with mental health and addictions, places like the Care Hub, where we can go, hey, we might be able to divert someone from the ER to the Care Hub because the Care Hub can help them. And you, those of you who got to meet Justine understood their passion for this. And they're like, if you have someone, bring them to us. Maybe we can help. You know, we continue to share our services with bylaw and housing services, community shelters, the Care Hub, and really taking that proactive approach, trying to address the issues before they become big issues. But we'll never get it perfect, but we're getting there.
This kind of diversion is central to what police describe as a proactive presence strategy, pairing uniformed officers with outreach workers, patrolling high-risk areas, and trying to intervene before behavior escalates to a crisis. Frazier says these efforts have had a positive impact in the downtown core.
And I can certainly say downtown, I've had people approach me to say, whatever you're doing, please keep doing it. I'm noticing something. Some people go, I can't put my finger on it, but something's changed. I don't know what it is. And, you know, we're hoping that it's, you know, maybe they haven't had to walk past a person who's been shooting up or smoking crystal meth.
According to the report, between August 2024 and June 10th, 2025, Kingston Police responded to 131 calls related to encampments across the city. During this period, officers issued 28 bylaw tickets for community standards and safe streets violations, along with 11 Liquor License and Control Act tickets, primarily for alcohol consumption in public spaces. Police also laid 36 criminal code charges and made 10 arrests related to outstanding warrants. Additionally, approximately 90 stolen grocery carts valued at around $500 each were seized and returned to retailers. While Frazier noted that there has been a positive response, some community members also expressed concerns with aspects of the approach.
You know, we've seized about $45,000 in shopping carts and returned them to the rightful owners. And I know we take a lot of flack for that from the public who drive by and say, do you have nothing better to do? And all these things. The fact of the matter is, you know, if you own a grocery store and all your shopping carts are gone, it's not good for business.
Along with these criticisms, the challenges remain stark.
We have a lot of mental health issues, and the Mental Health Act, which hasn't been changed in a long, long time, which needs to, really, you know, ties the hands of police where we can apprehend, you know, and it becomes that line of, are they a danger to themselves or anyone else, or are they just acting in a bizarre behavior that others do not recognize or appreciate? And we have to always make that evaluation. Our partnership also relies on what services are available for these people. If we talk specifically about mental health, or we talk about encampments, and if we have 60 people at an encampment and we have one bed available, the police are not, you know, we can't, where do we take the 59? You know, you can go in a community and have 30 unhoused people on week one and have 75 on week two and have 300 on week three. And we all know there's, you know, there's other agencies that drive them to Kingston and drop them off. We've caught them doing it.
As the pilot initiative continues, Frazier emphasized the limits of enforcement alone, stating that the long-term answer will have to come from upper levels of government.
It's by no means mission accomplished. There's no mic drop. This will go on for infinity until provincial and federal governments understand that the mental health crisis that's going on will not be solved by the police. We can't arrest people and lock them up forever. It just does not happen. Jail doesn't help. You know, our system is founded on deterrence, and our system is founded on rehabilitation, and the justice system has neither deterrence nor rehabilitation. So we aren't the answer, but we have to be available to certainly try and be an intermediary, intervene, stop what's happening, and then go, okay, what's our best result?
The Community Safety and Support Initiative has so far cost roughly $337,000 in officer salaries and benefits. Kingston police say they'll continue to assess its effectiveness. And while there is no easy solution, their efforts to manage these circumstances will rely on key consistent partnerships.
Ensuring that by law, that the police, that our mental health partners, we're all on the same page. And I think that's what the end result is. We want to get the people who need help, we've got to get them help. You know, I think it's that continued, consistent effort is what it's going to take. There's no way that we're not going to arrest our way out of this. The city, there's no switch they can go, boom, problem solved.
Before we wrap up this morning, we're going to run through your Friday forecast, a roundup of just some of the events Kingston has to offer this weekend. These events are pulled from CFRC's events calendar written by Ellie Sturton. To start us off tonight, Friday, July 25th, get involved in the Downtown Kingston Bingo Challenge, running July and August through September 13th across downtown Kingston. Pick up a bingo card today, collect stickers by shopping, dining, and exploring, and complete a winning pattern for a chance to win a share of over $3,500 in prizes. Cards are available at participating businesses. To learn more, you can visit downtownkingston.ca. Tomorrow on Saturday, July 26th, the LNA Expo 25 Freestyle Skateboarding Contest runs from 9:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Best & Bash Arena, with doors at 9 a.m. This free, all-ages event features a ranked freestyle skate competition plus live music from FFX, Monik, The Struggle's Over, Ascension Blacklist, and Master Nate and the Rep Probates. This event is presented by MLM Skates, Naturally LNA, and the WFSA. Paw Patrol Live, a mighty adventure comes to Slush Puppy Place with shows at 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. This action-packed stage production is perfect for kids and families, featuring the mighty pups in a fun, music-filled mission to save the day. Tickets range from $53 to $164 for two, with VIP meet-and-greet options available via slushpuppyplace.com. The Voice of the Rideau Singing Contest tryouts begins at 10 a.m. at North Crosby Community Center. Open to all ages, the contest features three categories: adult 18+, youth 13 to 17, and child 12 and under. Entry is $20, and finalists will perform at Music Westport in August. A chef from Mela will lead a live cooking demo in Springer Market Square Courtyard from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Watch them prepare a dish using locally sourced ingredients, then enjoy a $2 sample after the demo. On Sunday, July 27th, Yoga in the Park is from 10 to 11 a.m. in Battery Park. Enjoy a free outdoor yoga session led by downtown instructors. Just bring your mat and soak up the summer vibes by the water. Once again, Paw Patrol Live, a mighty adventure, continues at Slush Puppy Place with performances at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. Once again, you can get tickets at slushpuppyplace.com. Things to come: 1936 screens at the Screening Room on Sunday as part of Sci-Fi July with the Cinema Society of Kingston. This G-rated sci-fi drama runs 1 hour and 40 minutes and will be introduced by programmer Dan Simpson. Tickets are $10, available in person or via screeningroomkingston.com. Have a concert or event you'd like to add to our online and on-air concert and events calendar? Reach out today via CFRC.ca. And don't forget to follow CFRC on Instagram at CFRC Music. That is all things current in Kingston for this week. Thank you for listening to CFRC's local news programming, brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. To listen on the go and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Coming up next on CFRC's Friday afternoon lineup, at 12 p.m. we have Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman, daily global independent news. At 1 p.m. this just in, new music fresh from the mail, hosted by our music library manager, Chancellor. At 2 p.m. we have Whiplash, anything and everything with DJ LFN. And at 3 p.m. we have the Kingston Curator, all things Kingston local art scene with host Ellie Sturton. Be sure to stay tuned for all this programming and more right here on CFRC 101.9 FM. Thank you.
I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.
Hey, hey, hey! You want to kick the summer heat and get a nice treat? Don't hesitate to make a date to visit Old Farm Fine Foods. Pizza, frittata, sausage rolls, sandwiches, soups, and more are ready and waiting to get in your belly. Plus, you can also buy fresh and frozen food to prepare at home. Pop into the shop Monday through Sunday between 8 to 6 at 204 Berry Street. And don't forget to follow Old Farm Fine Foods on Instagram at OldFarmFF to get the scoop on the latest goodies. Old Farm Fine Foods, comfort food you can count on.
Coming up now on this week's Release Radar, in partnership with the Kingston Music Office, we're pleased to present Egg Salad, a brand new release from local jazz musician Oscar Evans. This is an original jazz composition mixing Brazilian rhythms with classic American swing styles. A bold and funky musical exploration featuring some of Kingston's finest jazz players. Catch Oscar literally everywhere and anywhere in Kingston and keep up with the latest by following him on Instagram at Oscar Mayfield Evans. Want to be highlighted next time? Complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visit kingston.music on Instagram. In the meantime, stream Egg Salad by Oscar Evans on your favorite platforms and enjoy it with us now here on CFRC 101.9 FM. KPP Concerts has a stacked lineup of all-ages concerts happening at the Broom Factory through the summer into early fall. On June 27th, check out Housewife, followed by Friday's Child at the Broom Factory on July 11th. Then on August 10th, enjoy music from hip-hop artist Matt Mac, followed later by The Dirty Nil on September 19th. Then on September 26th, it's Petite Belle Evo and neo-grunge icons The Bridge City Sinners coming to town on September 27th. And then Yukon Blonde gets us into the fall spirit on September 28th. All shows are all ages at the Broom Factory and co-presented by CFRC 101.9 FM. For a complete list of shows and ticket information, visit kppconcerts.com.
Guys, gals, non-binary pals, different circles is moving. Same day, different time slot. We're now on Fridays at 9 p.m. Join me from 9 to 10 p.m. for an adventure through sound. Who knows, you might just find your next favorite song.
Hey there, Kingston. Looking for the latest in arts and culture? Join me, Ellie Stern, Friday 3 to 4 p.m. for the Kingston Curator. Featuring interviews with artists themselves, I'll explore what's happening around town. From live music and theater to gallery shows, festivals, and more. Catch it live on CFRC 101.9 FM, stream at CFRC.ca, or listen anytime on the CFRC Podcast Network. The Kingston